And this son said, I'm going to get up and go back to my father. Now, if that father bad-mouthing his son for going, which his elder brother is going to do in a second, do you think that son would have had the ability to return when all of this was going on and revenge? That kid may come to his senses, but if that were the state of the home, he would never have had the humility to return. It required a father who understood forgiveness.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne will take us through the story of the prodigal son, and there's a lot we could learn from his life. But did you know there's also a lot more we can learn by examining the life of his father and brother? One was a man of forgiveness, the other of vengeance. In a moment, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled Starting Points. But first, we invite you to join us for a time of worship with New Hope. Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Starting Points.
Well, let's take out our notes. We're going to continue in our series called Starting Points. And today we want to talk about something that we wrestle with a great deal, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness. We're going to talk about the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, you're going to find three stories of lostness. A lost coin, lost sheep, and a lost son. Three stories of lostness. Have you ever lost anything of great, great value? I don't mean losing a game, you know, at Wii or losing your place in line or a pen or a pencil, but something very, very important that you lost, like hair. No, well, let me just tell you, a couple months ago, I was going to speak in Denver, and so I have my file that has all my illustrations, all my humor and stories and sermons and points, everything that I've gathered for the last 10 years. I've archived and cataloged them. And so I was going through this thing on the plane, the file full of the last 10 years of all my stuff. And I was getting tired, so I put it in the seat pocket and I fell asleep. And I woke up when the plane landed in Denver Airport. So I scurried all my stuff together and headed for the hotel. And when I went to look for that file of all my messages, I realized that I had forgotten it on the plane. Thought, no, that's 10 years of my brains in that file. So I called up the airline, said, please find it. Here's where I was. And never ask the airlines to get anything you lost. They ain't going to get it back for you. And so I thought, oh, no, that's everything. My stories, my illustrations, my humor, everything. So if I'm boring and not funny and without content anymore, it's not my fault. It's a lack of customer service in the airlines. And I wrestled with that all night. I thought, oh, no, what am I going to do? And I tell you, it was pretty major. But have you ever lost something of even greater importance? Maybe a relationship. I remember just before speaking at another place, right before I went up to speak, I received a telephone call that I'd lost my father. And you think, I don't know if I want to speak. Because you've got to go up there and appear happy and positive, and your dad just died. And I don't know, I'm sure many of you have lost a loved one that was close, but boy, I tell you, my heart physically ached. When you lose someone and it hurts so bad, there is a physical pain. And then to go up and try to push all that down and speak and then go back off and weep, those things are horribly difficult. Difficult. You ever lost anything that much? I know we have. Well, here in Luke chapter 15, it wasn't just a coin we want to talk about or a sheep. It's about a son. And right at the top of our notes, let's begin by reading what takes place as Jesus tells this story. Would you read it out loud with me? Go. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. You'll notice if you read in Luke 15, when the coin is lost, they look for the coin till they find it. When the sheep is lost, they look for the sheep till they find it. But here, you will notice that when the son goes, they don't go after him. It's going to be a story in forgiveness, maybe the stages of forgiveness. But you'll see that the father doesn't go. Why? He didn't go after his son. Because he knew that his contribution alone to his son would not be enough. He would make room for God, and it won't be long before God will speak to this young man's heart. I remember in Hilo, a desperate mother called me at about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and she said, Wayne, you got to come down with me, bail my son out. I said, what happened? The police just picked him up for drunken, disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. They want to keep him in jail for 2 days. We got to bail him out. I said, 2 days? She said, 2 days. I said, perfect. She said, what? We're going to go bail him out. I said, no, leave him there. She said, are you kidding? This is my son. I said, I know. You've got to leave him there. She said, that's 2 days. I said, good. One day for him to sober up and one day for him to hear God and come to his senses. You see, one of the things that we as parents need to understand is that we can't raise our kids alone. We need God's help. And sometimes, because we love our kids so much, we miss something that's so important sometimes in forgiveness. And would you write it down? The first is the power to release. The power to release. We've got to trust the Holy Spirit. You see, all my life working with my kids is not to in any way hold them close, but it's to help them to hear God for themselves. By the time they leave the home, here's your goal, is that your sons, your daughters are able to hear God clearly on their own. You prepare them and their ears to hear God for themselves. Not just to hear you, to hear God. And once they go out on their own, then they'll be able to hear the Lord. You're going to be able to release them so that God can speak to them. Let's find out what takes place here in the story. Let's continue reading under number one. Go. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. You see, what happens sometimes is when they go out on their own, they've got to learn through experience. Now, let me ask you, how many of you now, be honest, how many of you learn best by experiencing something? Go ahead, raise your hand. Yeah, yeah. That's not the best way to learn. No. Let me tell you the best way to learn. It's not through experience, it's through someone else's experience. But some just have to learn by experience. I remember when Aaron was young, I had my motorcycle. I brought my motorcycle in, and it's just nice and chrome. And I said, now, Aaron, those pipes are hot. They look really attractive, very tempting, but they're really hot. And so he said, okay. And so I went in the house. That night, we were having dinner, and he reached to get the shoyu or something, and I noticed there's a big blister on his finger. And I thought, uh-huh, yeah. And I didn't say anything. I just thought, he needs to learn by experience. He touches it. I thought, just like your mother. No. And sometimes we wish we could take it all away, protect them completely. But that's not always the case. It's very difficult to have this power to release. Oh, I cannot tell you how difficult that is. In fact, one of the deepest, most sincere prayers I've ever prayed was when Amy, our firstborn, was just still a baby, and she contracted a fever. And in the community, we had heard stories of other children that had gotten meningitis, spinal meningitis, and within just days, a child's dead. Well, Amy contracts this fever, and Anna and I had her in a tub of colder water to cool down her temperature, and then she was burning up, and I was holding her, and I was saying, oh God, oh God. I remember praying, Lord, this child doesn't understand. And even if this child has spinal meningitis, I will take this. Would you please, I beg you, take this and put it on me. And even if it takes my life, I'll be happy to lay it down for this child. Lord, please. And you know, I think as I look back on it now, that was the first time I began to understand a little sliver of the love of God, who would be so loving and desirous to take the sins of mankind and put it on himself. Even if it meant that he would die on the cross in order that we might live. And the little sliver of that kind of love he stuck inside of every single one of us. So that maybe we'll understand God's love for us. Well, Amy didn't have spinal meningitis. It was just some kind of fever that her body was working through. And the next morning she was fine. But I realize that sometimes what we see and what we're afraid of is something much smaller than what's really going on. Because God says, Wayne, if you protect and protect and protect and protect, it will destroy the people you're protecting. When you're thinking it's doing them good. In fact, something far greater is happening. What you see here and what you want to put on yourself is nice, but what you see might be a little fever, but what's happening is while this child is going through this, I am developing her immune system. to fight off viruses. And if you pull that away and away again and again and again, you'll end up with a very frail child with an immune system that limps along. You can pray, you can encourage, but you understand you must have the power sometime to release. And you have to learn that. It's a part of life. It's a starting point for understanding God and understanding forgiveness. Because what we're about to learn today is that forgiveness entails something far more eternal than a working out a circumstance. We're going to find that to be true in a second. But the first is, in this whole process, is the power to release and to allow people to go through some pain. Did you know that pain is probably one of the greatest gifts you'll receive? You say, what? Uh-huh. I didn't realize that until I was talking with a doctor who does his work out of Carville, Louisiana, in a disease called Hansen's disease. We here in Hawaii know it better as leprosy. Kalaupapa, Molokai, Father Damien. Dr. Brandt was on the Big Island quite a bit because his daughter actually married someone that had Hansen's disease. And he had done some surgery. And I asked Dr. Brandt, I said, what is this Hansen's disease or leprosy? He says it's a deterioration of the nervous system so that you don't feel pain anymore. I said, well, that would be nice. He said, sounds nice, but it isn't. So why? So because these people with Hansen's disease can pick up a hot pot of coffee, not realizing until they smell the burning of flesh that it was hot. They try to turn a doorknob that's broken, and you would stop twisting it when that would dig into your hand. But because they don't have nerves, they keep turning this thing, and it can break, and that sharp metal will cut their sinews and cut their tendons, and they don't know that anything's going wrong until blood is dripping off their hand and realize that they've just cut some tendons. Pain. They don't have any pain, so they don't know how to live. They're afraid to do anything because they can't feel anything. I said, what's then to one of the greatest gifts to the leprosy patients? He said, the gift of pain. One patient came to me and said, anything for Christmas, I would like the ability to feel pain again so that I can begin to live. You see, when God takes us through some suffering, it monitors our hearts. Our conscience is perked up. Our lives are somehow jostled but balanced. We begin to understand that we need to learn here. We have to do this. It's a wonderful mentor and teacher. And sometimes if we cuddle our children so much, they will never learn how to live. So the first is the power to release. And when that son went down to the pigs, something happened. And something began to take place. The starting point in his life would you write down number two, because of the power to release, he received, would you write it down, the humility to return. The humility to return. When did that happen? We're going to read this next scripture, and we're going to pause right at the beginning because I want you to underline a very important phrase. Let's read this scripture together. Ready? Here we go. But when he came to his senses, stop right there, underline that, would you please? But when he came to his what? Yeah, you see, the father, with all of his love, released his son to the pain of his own, the consequences of his own sin. And at that moment, there was a starting point. What was the starting point of his return? He came to his senses. Came to his senses. And that will be the beginning of the humility to return. Let's continue reading. Go. He said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. He had the humility to return. That takes a lot of humility. Because you can realize that you're wrong, but not have the humility to make it right. But the process of forgiveness is, you'll see in this father, he had the power to release, which gave his son the opportunity to come to his senses and let God be involved. Let God be involved. Because without God's input and contribution, restoration won't take place. But we've got to be able to release people to God sometimes. And the father did. Was it easy? Probably the hardest thing he ever did. But because of that, and I bet that father was praying every minute of the next few days, God was able to be involved. That's going to be an important point. And the son came to his senses. Starting point, he returned back. The humility to return is huge. I mean, how many of us have heard a rumor about somebody and then we just start talking about this person to everybody we find, and then later on we realize that, oop, that was completely false. That rumor was not true at all. It was about somebody else or whatever. And we think, oh, I just told five or six people. I badmouthed so-and-so, and it wasn't true at all. How many of you have done that? Raise your hand. Yeah, the rest of you are cowering. Yeah, that happens. But see, when we realize, oh, zip, how many of us have the humility to go and say to this person, I just badmouthed you and I'm so sorry. That humility to return is huge. And this son said, I'm going to get up and go back to my father. Now, if that father was badmouthing his son for going, which his elder brother is going to do in a second, but if he were doing that, do you think that son would have had the ability to return when all of this was going on and revenge? And we just go and tell everybody how terrible that kid is. That kid may come to his senses, but if that were the state of the home, he would never have had the humility to return. He would have come to his senses and would have gone further. But there was a humility to return, a way back home. Why? It required a father who understood forgiveness and would have the courage to forgive. That's number three. Would you write that in? The courage to forgive. You see, it's going to require something of both sides, not only for him to come to his senses, but on our side, we have to be careful. I remember some years ago, I was in a great friendship relationship with a brother that in Hilo, that we did everything together. And when I heard the Lord to come here to Honolulu, he really adamantly stood against that. Said, Wayne, you're not done here. You can't leave. It's not God. And I just said, I'm sorry. I just got to go. And so when I left and came here for New Hope in Honolulu, it was a huge breaking where this man was very upset. And it came to the point where he was saying many, many things about myself and Anna and my decision. And boy, I wanted to just kind of refute all of that and kind of give him back a little bit of his own medicine. And I remember one night the Lord said, do not say a thing, because I am working in him in far deeper ways than you can see. And forgiveness will release me to continue this. If you choose to take revenge, or if you choose to avenge yourself, or choose to defend yourself, or you choose to start to broadcast things that would defend you, everything that I want to do will be truncated, will be impeded, will be stopped. You've got to let me continue the work. That's why you cannot say anything. You must forgive. It was about 3 years later, it was after one of these services, I went out that door to greet people as I usually do. When he, I'd found, had flown over from Hilo, waited for me there to just simply say, God has spoken to me. I've seen what God has done. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And I looked at him and I thought, you have the humility to return. Gosh, that's fantastic. And then I thought, but if I would have taken the opposing stance against him, that would never have materialized. The father understood a third point in this, which was the power to forgive.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Starting Points by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you. They want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.